claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, to guarantee that every one of us needs help. Unfortunately, the Beatles aren't here to provide it. The UK PM, Boris Johnson, says ceasefire is not enough, that Russia must reverse course in Ukraine. I guarantee 100% that ain't gonna happen. It'll take more than a ceasefire for London to leave its sanctions against Ukraine, Prime Minister Boris Johnson told his cabinet, insisting Moscow must fully alter its policy toward its neighbor. This is absurd. Foreign Minister Liz Truss told the Sunday Telegraph, sanctions should only come off with a full ceasefire withdrawal, but also commitments that there will be no further aggression. Putin and Russia have undertaken this effort in good faith with good reason, which he laid out on February 24th in his Empire of Lies speech, so characterizing the West very, very accurately for the manner in which it's been affecting whole world with its lies and deception and encroachment and violation of every solemn promise ever made. I'm just appalled. And everyone has to understand, in this situation, the West, the United States, is not the good guys. That indeed, the bad guys are right here in Washington, D.C., in London, in Brussels. NATO has been abusing its position, its role in power, for decades now, and we have engaged in one malicious invasion war after another. Think of Libya, think of Syria, think of Iraq, think of Afghanistan. We had no business being any of those nations. We were doing the devil's work, as it were, because we sure as hell weren't acting on principle or in accordance with human morality. It was driven by economic and political consideration exclusively and some sadistic impulse to kill and destroy, which seems to be all too prevalent among the leadership we find in Washington, D.C. As a sign of good faith, Russia intends to de-escalate military activity near Kiev and Cherkiv in northern Ukraine, but there's been no talk of any ceasefire. London and Washington have led the way in imposing a wide-ranging embargo on Russian goods, and it turns out that the latest report would have it that these efforts to punish Russia economically are going to backfire. Here this morning, IMF warns sanctions against Russia threaten to weaken the dominance of the dollar. In other words, we've got leaders who are so thoughtless that they're shooting themselves in the foot, if only it were literally, by taking actions they believe are or don't. Excuse, here we go. The recent financial sanctions imposed on Russia for its invasion of Ukraine are threatening to weaken the dominance of the U.S. petrodollar as a world currency, said First Deputy Managing Director Geeta Gopinath of the International Monetary Fund. The sanctions may result in a more fragmented international monetary system. Too little, too late. Horses are already out of the barn. BRICS is asserting itself. Russia's demanding rubles to buy gas. Russia and China are tight. The actions of the United States have been counterproductive and self-destructive. She had previously observed the sanctions would not foreshadow the demise of the dollar as the world's reserve currency, and that the Ukraine crisis would slow growth but not cause global recession. This, I believe, is no longer her opinion, nor that of other economists looking at the situation. The U.S., the EU, the Group of Seven hit Russia with a bundle of heavy sanctions, blocked the country from using SWIFT, the global communication service that clears international financial transactions, eventually cutting off from the global financial markets and international trade. The U.S. also froze $630 billion in assets held in international reserves by the Russian Central Bank. I have mentioned, by the way, already, that this is a form of collective punishment of the Russian people and therefore qualifies as a war crime under the Geneva Conventions and international law. No one in Washington seems to give a toot. I mean, it's just obscene. The Russian government is retaliating by demanding payment in rubles or gold for purchase of energy or other important commodities. If they want to buy, let them pay either in hard currency, and this is gold for us, or pay as it is convenient for us in the national currency, meaning in rubles, said Pavel Zavodny, the head of Russia's Energy Committee. The U.S. and the U.K. have imposed embargoes on Russian energy exports, but the EU, which is more reliant on energy imports, is reluctant to ban it. The new policy has hit the EU the hardest, sending gas prices up by over 30% on the continent. Meanwhile, the ruble has risen to a three-week high, the past 95 against the dollars, after the Moscow Stock Exchange reopened from after the initial round of sanctions. Zavodny has suggested buyers from countries friendly to Russia, such as China, could pay in their own fiat currencies or in Bitcoin. Russia has been planning for years to reduce its dependence on the petrodollar since the U.S. first imposed sanctions in retaliation for its annexation of Crimea in 2014, which, by the way, was in accordance with international law and has been improperly described as Russia seizing control, but it was by a popular referendum and perfectly appropriate under international law. The current crisis in Ukraine has only accelerated those plans. Before the recent conflict, Russia still had about a fifth of its foreign reserves in dollar-denominated assets, mainly held overseas in Germany, France, the UK, and Japan, which have since sided with U.S. to isolate Moscow from the global financial system. That was a blunder. Gopinath said Russia's response to the sweeping sanctions could encourage the emergence of small currency blocks based on trade between separate groups of countries and would lead to further diversification of the reserve assets held by national central banks. Absolutely. The BRICS nation are going to move forward and take a larger role, Brazil, India, and other nations, China, Russia, countries tend to accumulate reserves and currencies with which they trade with the rest of the world and in which they borrow from the rest of the world. So you may see some slow-moving trends toward other currency playing a bigger role in reserve assets. I do not think it's going to be very slow-moving. I believe it's going to happen with astonishing rapidity. She doubts the dominance of the dollar will be challenged in the medium term because it's backed by strong and highly credible institutions and the fact that it's really convertible. I think this is mistaken. I think this is wrong. The dollar is going to weaken. The dollar is going to crash. The U.S. is going to be up a creek without a paddle. The dollar would remain the major global currency even in that landscape, but fragmentation at a smaller level is certainly possible. She's grossly underestimating what's going on here. She's trying to cushion us. She's trying to break us in slowly. That with a weakening of the dollar as a reserve currency, since that is the sole reason the dollar has reserved its value as a medium of currency since Nixon, at Kissinger's recommendation, took the U.S. off the gold standard, it's going to plummet. And when it plummets, inflation here in the United States is going to skyrocket. And just like the gas price of gasoline is climbing and climbing, this is a direct result of the policies imposed by the Biden administration, where, remember, I don't actually have to remind you, his first act in office was to cancel the XL pipeline and permits for drilling on publicly owned land, which had made the United States energy independent. He put us back in a state of dependency now because of the really fumbling, incompetent manner in which the United States has been conducting itself in the Biden administration. Other nations like Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates will not even take phone calls from the President of the United States. This is just astounding. Gopinath noted the dollar's share of international reserves had fallen from 70 to 60% over the last 20 years with the emergence of other trading currencies. Well, I guarantee you, it's going to fall further and faster now. About a quarter decline in the dollar's share is attributed to the greater use of the yuan, the Chinese yuan, but less than 3% are denominated in that currency. The IMF deputy director said the conflict is spurring the adoption of an international digital finance system utilizing cryptocurrencies and central bank digital currencies. All of these will get even greater attention following the recent episodes, which draws us to the question of international regulation. There is a gap to be filled there. Let me just say, there's a lot of whistling in the dark going on here. And I think that if we turn to the assessment of D.J. Hayes, for example, pretty smart fellow, about what's going on in the world, that he's got a far more astute interpretation. Listen to this. Assessment forecast nightmare scenario of nuclear World War III over rising potential for operational miscalculation regarding Ukraine. Based on my study of military history as an officer in the Marine Corps, he's got this right. The likelihood of a nuclear exchange between the U.S., the West, and Russia is rising fast the longer the war in Ukraine drags on. Since Russia launched its invasion on Feb 24, special military operation, as Putin would phrase it, U.S. defense officials, including Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, Joint Chiefs Chair Mark Milley, have attempted to set up diplomatic phone calls with Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu and Milley's counterpart, General Valery Gerasimov, but thus far the latter two have declined to engage, according to retired Rear Admiral John Kirby, Pentagon spokesman. According to experts and former military commanders, the longer the U.S. and Russia do not talk, and look how many moves Biden has made to ensure that, expelling Russian diplomats from the United States, leading to retaliation by Russia. This guy is easily, you see, it's a little too easy, actually, to discount it as the most incompetent. He's acting as a puppet. If you recognize that, actually, the strings are being pulled by George Soros, no doubt aided and abetted by Barack Obama, then you understand better why every move that Biden makes is destructive of the United States, whether it's the open borders, the vax mandate, vaccinating the military, and by the way, deaths in the military are skyrocketing, holding up supplies, paying farmers to plow under their crops, Every move that Biden has made has been destructive of the United States, and that includes on a cultural level, you know, supporting the defunding the police movement, taking down statues that honor great heroes, and were part of the reconciliation between the North and the South after the war between the states, promoting critical race theory in classrooms, denigrating parents, making parents out to be domestic terrorists in the view of the Attorney General of the United States because they're upset about what their kids are being taught in school, and that transgenderism is being taught. They're being introduced to sexual activities, given knowledge that is far, far beyond their years, not to mention exercising local parentis and authority. They do not have to have these children vaccinated with a deadly jab. This is all grotesque. This is warping American society. It is destructive beyond belief. According to experts and former military commanders, the longer the U.S. and Russia don't talk, the more likely it will be a nuclear exchange will occur due to an operational miscalculation as the Pentagon and NATO allies shore up member countries bordering both Ukraine and Russia. A nightmare scenario would be a Russian missile or attack aircraft destroying a U.S. command post across the Polish-Ukraine border, said James Savridis, a retired admiral who served as Supreme Allied Commando NATO, and that means he was a commanding general from 2009 to 2013. A local commander might respond immediately, thinking the event was precursor to a wider attack. That would lead to rapid and irreversible escalation, including potential use of nuclear weapons. CNN has supported some details of a rare face-to-face meeting between Russian and American officials last week. According to the network, Washington believes Moscow's refusal to hold high-level talks or to worries within the Kremlin that such mean would show them Russia is vulnerable because it risks a tacit admission that an abnormal situation exists, according to a readout of the meeting. That is frankly absurd. Russia is far stronger militarily than is the United States and NATO combined. There's an utter failure to acknowledge the facts of the matter by the American military and American politicians who may wade us wander into a nuclear war thinking that the U.S. will come out intact. That is not the case. The assessment continued. Though the assumption of vulnerability appears misconceived, considering while the Pentagon has allegedly attempted to maintain high-level contact with Russian counterparts, Secretary of State Blinken has not attempted any conversation with his counterpart, Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov, since the start of the conflict last month. Now, Blinken, in my opinion, is just a Zionist shill. He's not qualified for the job. Any actions he takes or influence are going to benefit Israel, not the United States. Sergey Lavrov, by contrast, is a consummate diplomat. He's vastly knowledgeable, highly intelligent, has excellent judgment. Here's continuation. The real reason the Russian military has allegedly shunned high-level contact with the Pentagon's top brass appears to be the duplicitous and treacherous role played by the transatlantic NATO alliance of significantly escalating the conflict by substantially increasing the NATO military footprint in Eastern Europe along Russia's western flank, publicly providing billions of dollars worth of lethal weapons to Ukraine's security forces and allied neo-Nazi militia, while asininely claiming to be peacemakers, extending chivalrous courtesies to the arch-rival. Absolutely right. That is spot on. I'm going to reread this, so important. The real reason the Russian military has allegedly shunned high-level contact with the Pentagon's top brass appears to be the duplicitous and treacherous role played by the transatlantic NATO alliance of significantly escalating the conflict by substantially increasing the NATO military footprint in Eastern Europe along Russia's western flank, publicly providing billions of dollars worth of lethal weapons to Ukrainian security forces and allied neo-Nazi militias, while asininely claiming to be peacemakers, extending chivalrous courtesies to the arch-rival. Absolutely right. Ahead of last week's NATO summit attended by Biden, which turned into a gaffe fest, the White House having to clarify or walk back a number of things the commander-in-chief asserted, NATO Secretary Jens Stoltenberg announced the alliance was planning to double the number of battle groups it had previously positioned in Eastern Europe. Well, that's certainly going to be reassuring to the Russians. The first step was deployment of four new NATO battle groups in Bulgaria, Hungary, Romania, and Slovakia, along with our existing forces in the Baltic countries and Poland, he said. That means we will have eight multinational NATO battle groups all along the eastern flank from the Baltic to the Black Sea. Well, look at that move from the point of view of Russia. When the dissolution of the Soviet Union took place in 1991, within a framework of understanding that the West made make no effort to encroach upon, militarize, or turn into NATO nations any of the newly sovereign Eastern Bloc nations at the time, NATO had 16 members. But in spite of promising not to encroach one inch to the east, NATO now has 30. This has just been a disgrace. This has been the greatest betrayal of modern history of the West, of the Russian state. Following the emergency NATO session Thursday, the alliance issued this statement. In response to Russia's action, we have activated NATO's defense plans, deployed elements of the NATO response force, and placed 40,000 troops on our eastern flank, along with significant air and naval assets under direct NATO command, supported by allies' national deployments. We're also establishing four additional multi-battle groups in Bulgaria, Hungary, Romania, and Slovakia. The troop build-up comes as the U.S. and NATO allies stuff billions worth of lethal military aid into Ukraine, including U.S.-made Javelin anti-tank missiles by the thousands, 100 Switchblade kamikaze drones, and 6,000 AT-4 anti-armor systems. The stage for a dangerous and deadly miscalculation has been set intentionally for a nuclear World War III. You can take that to the bank. Meanwhile, Russia makes new allegations about U.S.-funded biolabs in Ukraine. Kiev had plans to use pathogens developed in Pentagon-funded biolabs to attack the Donbass and Russia. Documents and other evidence from U.S.-funded laboratories in Ukraine suggest Kiev was planning to use drones to deploy pathogens against the Donbass as well as against Russia itself. The Defense Ministry alleged it has identified specific U.S. officials involved in the development of bioweapons in the East European country. Of particular interest to Russian investigators are documents testifying to the plans of the Kiev regime to use unmanned aerial vehicles capable of carrying and spraying deadly substances. We have them right here in the United States. Those are the planes flown by the U.S. Air Force spreading what are known as chemtrails. Anyone who thinks that's for your benefit or to enhance your health has their head where the sun does not shine. Facts in the possession of the Russian military prove the Kiev regime was seriously considering the possibility of using biological weapons against the population of Donbass and the Russian Federation, have identified the specific officials who took part. They were heads of division and employees of the Department of Defense as well as its main contractors. Get this. These campaigns were directly related to the son of the current U.S. President, Hunter Biden, citing investigations in the Western media. Last week, for example, the Daily Mail published email showing Biden's ties to the Pentagon contractor Metabiota, which specializes in researching potential pandemic-causing pathogens that could be used as bioweapons. And can you imagine? This man's father is president of the United States? Biden's involvement in funding of Ukraine biolabs was brought up by Lieutenant General Igor Krylov, commander of the Russian Nuclear Biological and Chemical Protection Forces. The results of further analysis of documents and other evidence obtained from the biolabs will be shared in greater detail in the near future at a special briefing. Washington, of course, has long claimed allegations about Pentagon-funded biolabs in Ukraine were Russian disinformation. Earlier this month, however, U.S. diplomat Victoria Nuland, who had engineered the coup in Ukraine in 2014 that deposed the Russian-friendly president and replaced him with a Western stooge at the expense of $5 billion in taxpayer money, testified before the Senate there were biological research labs in Ukraine, and the U.S. was working with Kiev to ensure the materials of biological research do not fall into the hands of Russian forces. The U.S. engagement with Ukraine's biological facilities is vast, and now that the contents of Hunter's email are becoming available, it is further substantiated at this point in time. Anyone who denies the U.S. was funding these biolabs is lying to you with a straight face. We'll be right back. Having a moment more, there's another very serious development I'll continue explaining after the break. To wit, a world government summit is introducing the new financial world order, the intent of the digital ID that follows a vaccine passport, which is going to put us all on digital currency, which the Biden administration wants to do as well, notwithstanding the threats it represents, not just to freedom, but to attacks on the whole electronic system by an EMP, for example, that could thereby destroy financial transactions within the United States at a single stroke. I'll be right back.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
The World Government Summit 2022 took place just this past March 29th and 30th in Dubai, hosting more than 4,000 representatives of 190 countries, including senior government officials, heads of international organizations, and global experts. Invited participants presented ideas and worldviews from within their various fields of speciality. One presentation that should be noted was from Dr. Pippa Malmgren, an American economist who served as a special advisor on economic policy to President George W. Bush. Her father, Harold Malmgren, served as a senior aide to U.S. Presidents John F. Kennedy, Lyndon B. Johnson, Richard Nixon, and Gerald Ford. In this segment, Ms. Malmgren says the quiet part out loud. Yes, they are no longer hiding the construct. Indeed, as you will hear, they are saying quite openly what the future will look like. Transcript. Dr. Malmgren. What underpins a world order is always a financial system. I was very privileged. My father was an advisor to Nixon when they came off the gold standard in 71. I was brought up with kind of an inside view of how very important the financial structure is to absolutely everything else. And what we're seeing in the world today, I think, we're on the brink of a dramatic change. We're about to, and I'll say this boldly, abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having an almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy, which will give us far greater clarity over what's going on. It also raises huge dangers in terms of the balance of power between states and citizens, indeed, which is one of the two major reasons it ought to be absolutely opposed. It gives a state complete control over every financial transaction we undertake. And that means that if we do not conform to the expectations of the state, they can cut us off. A nice illustration on a small scale found in the film with Gene Hackman and Will Smith, Enemy of the State, which I recommend is completely brilliant and relevant to modern times. The other, the fragility of the entire of an entire digital system, which could be taken out by a single electromagnetic pulse weapon set off above the United States that would crash the economy. And if the whole world's economy is on blockchain, take it out. In my opinion, this cheerful woman explains, we're going to need a digital constitution of human rights if we're going to have digital money. Right. But also this new money will be sovereign in nature. Most people think digital money is crypto and private. But what I see are superpowers introducing digital currency, the China, the first, U.S. on the brink of moving in the same direction. The Europeans are committed to do it as well. And the question is, will that new system of digital money and digital accounting accommodate the competing needs of the citizens of all these locations so every human being has a chance to have a better life? Fat chance. Because that's the only measure of whether a world order really served. Yes, yes, have a better life. Does anyone think that's the objective of the World Economic Forum? The end goal of digital currency is why Western political leaders have not been worried about following the COVID spending demands from the World Economic Forum. When the global trade currency does not need to be pegged to anything to determine its value, it is completely fiat. That is the current problem with global trade and transactions taking place in the U.S. dollar, which arbitrarily lifts the standard of life for Americans while providing no similar benefit to other nations. That view became the underlying motive for, and here it says, I mean, this is ludicrous beyond belief, for Osama bin Laden to target the World Trade Center Twin Towers. But Osama had nothing to do with it. Osama was our man in Afghanistan. Osama was instrumental in getting Stinger missiles into the hands of the Mujahideen they used to shoot down Soviet helicopters and planes. Osama was an officer in the CIA, Colonel Tim Osman by name, visited by an official of the agency in a hospital in Dubai shortly before his death in Afghanistan from his medical maladies. It's tough to get dialysis machines in and out of those caves in Afghanistan. I've reported this before. CNN and Fox both reported that Osama was dead on the 26th of December, 2001. This is a decade before Barack Obama resuscitated the corpse and had him die again in a stage raid on a compound in Pakistan. We are played over and over and over again. Half a dozen of the alleged terrorist hijackers stood up alive and well the following day and made contact with the British media. David Ray Griffin makes that his very first point in his magisterial work, The 9/11 Commission Report Omissions and, Deceptions. It's just outrageous. His very first point. Well, think about it. If they're alive and well, then obviously they didn't die in plane crashes and weren't suicide bombers. A whole lot follows from that. If you want more, go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and check out my report on 9/11, which was dedicated to Robert David Steele. You won't have trouble finding it. A digital currency also allows ultimate control on a global basis by a one-world government or Western system of collective governments that can assign value. No other mechanism would have as much control over the life of a person than a digital currency that would create a system of transactional credits and debits, perhaps also influenced by your social credit score. Surprise, surprise. The digital currency requires a digital identity in order for apportionment based on your value to society. This is essentially an extension of the Fabian mindset into the world of financial transactions and monetary evaluations. Fabians believe that some form of socioeconomic tribunal would be needed in order for each citizen to be qualified, quantified, according to their worth in society. The Chinese social credit score is a variant of that same concept, and that's what they want for us, too. The phrase, "you didn't build that," when espoused by former President Obama and current Senator Elizabeth Warren, also based on this collective worldview, both believe individuals do not succeed independently, but gain their ability to grow wealth by using the resources of the larger society, infrastructure, labor, and education. The phrase, "it takes a village to raise a child," as espoused by Hillary Clinton, is another variant of the same collective advocacy. A digital currency and digital identity is not a conspiracy theory. These global leaders are explaining it to us out loud. However, I am concerned most will not hear it or understand it before it's too late. Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Now, we know the tendency to create false flags, such as Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas, to affect the opinions of the public by instilling fear into them to make them more amenable to political control. Barack Obama, once again, and how many roads lead back to him, nullified the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 by means of the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, just in time to bring us Sandy Hook. The Smith-Mundt Act had originally precluded the use of the same techniques of propaganda and disinformation, basically fake news on any scale, paid riots, staged events, and the like, from being conducted within the United States when he opened the floodgate, and we're still suffering with it. Meanwhile, we're getting these events on a much smaller scale. Racist graffiti at a Sacramento high school, for example, turned out to be a hoax, a second in 2 months. A local news outlet reported a week ago a disturbing discovery at Rosemont High School in Sacramento. Someone had written a racist comment, including the N-word, on a wall. A report was made to the police. Deputies at the Sacramento County Sheriff's Office say someone wrote the N-word on a bathroom stall in pencil at Rosemont High School. The racial slur was found Tuesday near the end of the day. Attorney Mark Harris of the Race and Equity Liaison Sacramento Unified said, "Anytime you use the N-word, in my opinion, it's hate speech in this situation. The context of the use of the word is very clear, very explicit. There was threatening language associated with the use of the N-word. I would call it hate speech. It's very disturbing," said activist Shadid Sikhu. "Is the district really educated on race relations? It may not be a race issue, but it may be an education issue. They may need to be educated on what the word means and what the significance of using the word means to African-American people, many of whom, by the way, greet themselves informally, certainly younger, hipper blacks do so. Calling one another by that name is a term of affection and of mutual status in a society where blacks have not enjoyed equal status with whites. No one denies that a part of our past, But the nation as a whole has done a great deal to seek to alter that by means of affirmative action, anti-discrimination law, Civil Rights Act, and a host of others that Democrats would just as soon you forgot about, because in promoting critical race theory, they're trying to generate the perception that Americans are, that the nation is inherently racist, that every white American is a racist. It's just not true. It's just phony. It's complete bullshit. But they use it for political benefit, very much as another ethnic group uses the Holocaust to secure its political influence in the West, where Israel's influence, for example, is rooted in a Western sense of guilt over the Holocaust, so that if you were to learn that the Holocaust was not true, if you were to learn that it was a fabrication, that while it is true that millions, including millions of Jews, died during World War II, that those were not centers for extermination, but were rather labor camps. At Auschwitz, for example, had a woodworking shop, had a symphony hall, had a hospital with OBGYN facilities. Yes, did you not know? Hundreds, even thousands of babies were born at these various camps, which would have been preposterous had they actually been centers for extermination, where the International Committee of the Red Cross was keeping records on every inmate about who died, including their age, their sex, their ethnicity, their religion, their cause of death, and recalibrated their total in 1993, discovering that altogether in all camps combined, 296,081 had died from various causes of death, none of which included being put to death in a gas chamber using Zyklon B, which is a mild form of cyanide. Indeed, Zyklon B was being used on the inmates to kill body lice in order to prevent the spread of dysentery and typhus in the camps, for the simple reason that they wanted to maintain the health of the inmates, because you can't get work out of a corpse. Well, we recently were exposed to the Jussie Smollett obscenity in Chicago, where Jussie, as far as I can tell, is a nephew of Kamala Harris, who had a anti-lynching bill that was stalled in Congress. No one thought it would be necessary or appropriate. So as soon as this absurd event took place at 2 a.m. on a coldest morning in Chicago, where two alleged rednecks attacked him with a noose and with a bottle of bleach. I mean, can you imagine walking around Chicago in below freezing weather carrying a bottle of bleach, which is mostly water and therefore would have frozen solid, and a noose? What, just to be on the outlook for a black gay actor coming out of a subway at 2 a.m.? I mean, this story was absurd on its face. And of course, it turned out that the rednecks were played by two very black Nigerian bodybuilders, one of whom is Jussie Smollett's own personal trainer, the other an extra on the set of Empire, where he was one of the cast characters, from which he's since been given the boot, where he paid them with a $3,500 personal check. I mean, it is insulting that anyone thinks these events are taking place and are bona fide, but the Democrats cry out, cry out. They make a big deal, focus all attention, because it is politically expedient to benefit their agenda. I expect similar things here on a smaller scale. This is the second time in 2 months an alleged act of hate in an area high school has been revealed to be a hoax. In February, someone wrote the words colored and white over a pair of water fountains at C.K. McClatchy High School. In that case, too, the person responsible was identified a few days later. The district later said it had a confession from an African-American female student. There have been two other racial graffiti incidents at Sacramento High School since December. In one case, 14-year-old spray-painted graffiti, including a swastika outside a school that was not the one they attended. In another, someone wrote the N-word near a parking space. The ACLU is now involved claiming that the hoax cases have been dealt with more quickly than the non-hoax cases. It's too early to draw conclusions, but it appears there is one possibly real incident last year that generated attention and spawned these others. By the way, there's a spate of anti-Semitic incidents that occur any time the ADL, for example, feels it needs additional public relations attention and benefit. Meanwhile, a federal judge attacks the Department of Justice for having a double standard for right-wing supporters. Amen to that. Last week, Texas salon owner Jenny Kudd was sentenced for her involvement in the January 6th riot at the Capitol. After pleading guilty to the misdemeanor charge of knowingly entering and remaining in a respected area without authority to do so. I find that charge really peculiar on its face. The Capitol surely belongs to every American. You shouldn't require special permission to enter the Capitol. On Wednesday, Judge Trevor McFadden from the U.S. District Court for Columbia sentenced Kudd to 2 months probation, a $5,000 fine in order to pay $500 in restitution. Tuesday, prosecutors file a motion arguing Kudd may have repudiated her plea agreement when she told a probation officer she didn't realize she broke the law when she entered the Capitol, that her comments flew in the face of her guilty plea. Well, this is reminiscent of me when, during my trial for damages, I was on the stand and my attorney asked me about my status with regard to the death certificate that I published and was prosecuted for. And I asked the court, I said, am I under oath? And he said, yes, you are. And I proceeded to assert that it continued to be my belief that they were fake. Now, I'm only using this to illustrate what happened in court. I am not reasserting that position. And the judge immediately cleared the court and reprimanded me, basically, for not lying under oath. I mean, it's just incredible what goes on in our judicial system. In any case, the judge has instructed that I may not reassert the sentences for which I was sued, and therefore I'm merely explaining what happened, which seems to me to be completely parallel to here. Kudd repudiated when she told that she didn't realize she broke the law. How could she realize she broke the law? Accusing the government of gamesmanship, defense attorney Marina Medvin suggested prosecutors were recommending jail time, not because of her actions, but because of her political views. To make her point, Medvin compared the DOJ's decision to not even charge other protesters like those who broke into the Portland federal courthouse or those who disrupted the confirmation hearing for Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. It was a right argument to make to Judge McFadden, who has repeatedly made the same comparisons himself regarding other hearings for January 6th defendants. Before delivering his sentence, McFadden said he opposed aggregate justice and that the Justice Department's sentencing recommendation for Kudd was disproportionate to other defendants who committed similar offenses. He acknowledged it appears the government has two different standards here, and I cannot abide by that. During her sentencing, Kudd offered a brief statement where she vowed to continue fighting for a free, fair, and transparent election. She said she suffered financial and social consequences from her arrest, including threats against her and her business, merely for entering the Capitol. She also expressed regret the riot disrupted the debate and challenges of certification of the Electoral College vote, saying the country would be very different if the debate had not been disrupted, thereby really focusing attention on the actual objective of the intervention. It was to disrupt debate and discussion about the evidence of fraud. Now listen to this extremely disturbing report about the effects of the vaccination on our military.
The young men and women who have volunteered to serve and protect their communities as members of the United States military have been under attack by their own government for over a century, experimented on like laboratory animals with mustard gas, plutonium, Agent Orange, and depleted uranium. But what we are experiencing now is the final destruction of the entire U.S. military from within. Those with enough sense to refuse the gene therapy shots are being forced out of military service. Navy SEALs who refused the jab have been denied deployment and even denied permission to travel for medical treatment. But more than two-thirds of the entire U.S. military have chosen to receive this life-altering vaccine, which has now proven to be catastrophic. Attorney at law Todd Callender, who is representing the U.S. Navy SEALs versus President Joe Biden, has recently reported an 1,100% increase in U.S. military deaths as a result of these mRNA injections. And based on their latest data, they expect this number to soon rise above 5,000%. A leaked military database from the Department of Defense shows us that while the public was being told that it's a crisis of the unvaccinated, the Defense Secretary and upper command knew 71% of all new cases were among the fully vaccinated. The Department of Defense knew what they were doing, and the proper charges are genocide.
If you look at all of the documentation, Pfizer's documentation, that they we did mass spectrometry on their vials, we know what's in these things. And in fact, they even admit that they added an HIV protein into the shots for the purpose of disabling people's autoimmune. Right? They couldn't slip these lipid nanoparticles, which are in fact little bombers that carry pathogenic proteins, to effectuate gene modification in an individual, gene therapy as they call it. In order to get those lipid nanoparticles past your cellular defense, your body's defense, they had to disarm your immune system. And they did that. It's in all the scientific papers. What they didn't do is undo that. And right now, they're coming to understand this. People showing up HIV positive, people with three shots have no immune system left over whatsoever. There's no other way to characterize this other than intentional homicide, the unlawful taking of the human life, except that it's in large numbers, which makes it a genocide.
A vaccine-delivered AIDS epidemic.
That's right. That's correct.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
I mean, that's about as appalling as it gets, and that's what the U.S. Department of Defense and the Biden administration is doing to our military. They are eviscerating the military. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio. Radio, radio, radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, if you thought we were done with the vax, not a chance. Here we have a new report from Vaccine Weekly. Tetanus vaccine may be laced with anti-fertility drug. International developing countries affected. A priest, president of Human Life International based in Maryland, has asked Congress to investigate reports of women in some developing countries unknowingly receiving a tetanus vaccine laced with the anti-fertility drug, human chorionic gonadotropin, HCG. If true, he wants Congress to publicly condemn the mass vaccination and cut off funding to UN agencies and other agencies, organizations that are involved. The natural hormone, HCG, is needed to maintain pregnancy. The hormone would produce antibodies against HCG to prevent pregnancy. In the fall of 1994, the Pro-Life Committee of Mexico was suspicious of the protocols for the tetanus toxoid campaign because they excluded all males and children and called for multiple injections in only women of reproductive age. Yet, one injection is supposed to provide protection for at least 10 years, hence, why would they need multiple, and why would they not be giving them to men and children as well? The committee had vials of the vaccine analyzed for HCG. It informed the Life Committee about the tetanus toxoid vaccine, which then told its World Council members and affiliates in more than 60 countries. Similar tetanus vaccines laced with HCG have been uncovered in the Philippines and in Nicaragua. In addition to the WHO, other organizations involved in the development of an anti-fertility vaccine using HCG include the UN Population Fund, the UN Development Program, the World Bank, the Population Council, the Rockefeller Foundation, the U.S. National Institute of Child Health and Human Development, the All India Institute of Medical Sciences, and Uppsala, Helsinki, and Ohio State Universities. The priest objects, if indeed the purpose of the mass vaccines is to prevent pregnancies, women are uninformed, unsuspecting, and unconsenting victims. No doubt about it. Meanwhile, John Rappaport, who's been absolutely vigilant in dealing with these issues, stop FDA authorization of COVID shot for kids. Stand at the gates of hell. A faceless Nazi bureaucracy is posed waiting for the FDA signal to advance on small children and infants with needles of death. You can find all the government contact info and talking points, as well as the entire timeline of development, in multiple places. In Toby Rogers' articles, for example. And then raise the alarm on all fronts. Raise holy hell. The FDA is taking another run at authorizing the horrific COVID vaccine for children aged 6 months to 4 years. This is murder and maiming right out in the open. Even from a conventional medical position, it's senseless. It's trying to prevent a disease that doesn't happen in children. It's straight-out slaughter. A federal database contains well over a million reports of injuries from the COVID vaccine, and that figure represents vast underreporting. The medical apparatus that administers these shots is remorseless. It doesn't think. It just acts under orders. It doesn't stop and wonder about the little children and infants. It has no conscience. It doesn't need to explain itself. It only has to say the vaccine was authorized. And the body that authorizes it only has to say, we weighed the benefit against the risk and came to the conclusion we did. And then the new death march begins. Evidence for the FDA's decision? There is no evidence. There's only cooked data and hidden data. There is only the FDA hand in glove with Pfizer and Moderna, partners. There is only money and greed and control and destruction of life, the slaughter of the innocents. Do what they've been telling you to do. See something, say something. They are the insurrectionists. They are the terrorists. I applaud John Rappaport. He's been doing a brilliant job of this. Meanwhile, buried halfway into a new 40-page report, the World Health Organization reveals a new vaccine side effect many have yet to recover from. Amid pushes for a fourth dose of COVID vaccines, the WHO has said it's looking into reports of hearing problems stemming from the vaccines. According to NBC News, the WHO has reported 367 cases of tinnitus among people who received the vax. The condition is characterized by ringing in the ears. It usually occurs within a day of the vax being administered to the patients who are reporting it. Some who experience these symptoms also reporting headache, dizziness, and nausea. Reports of tinnitus came from 27 different countries, including Italy, the United Kingdom, and the United States. While some recovered quickly, others had to undergo steroid treatment to address the side effects. Patients who experience this side effect range in age from 19 to 91. Almost 75% of those who reported the condition were women. In addition to cases of tinnitus, WHO reported 164 identified new hearing loss after receiving the vax as of Feb 22nd. A recent signal detection activity at the Uppsala Monitoring Center identified hearing loss, including sudden cases and tinnitus, following vaccination as a preliminary signal to be further assessed. The WHO said it needed to continue monitoring reports of these side effects to make a final determination on next steps. Awareness of this possible link may help healthcare professionals and those vaxxed to monitor symptoms and seek care as appropriate. Since there's still only limited data in the literature providing evidence for this link, further monitoring is required. This report comes as the FDA authorized a fourth dose of Pfizer and Moderna. Remember, those four doses completely wipe out your immune system, and you're therefore vulnerable to threats that your body would effortlessly have shrugged off like water off of a duck's back. We're going to see astronomical increases in death from a whole host of different causes, which is part of the ingenuity, because that makes it harder to track back to the vax. But the reports we're getting from so many sources leave no doubt about it. According to CNBC, the FDA authorized a second booster shot for both Pfizer and Moderna for anyone over the age of 50, meant to go along with the original two doses and the first booster shot, meaning those who have the vaccine will have been inoculated four times and thereby have completely destroyed your immune system. In addition, FDA authorized another booster, Pfizer booster, to anyone age 12 and up with a compromised immune system, as well as a second Moderna booster to anyone 18 and up with a compromised immune system. The FDA did not hold a meeting of its vaccine advisory committee before issuing the new authorizations. They didn't even have to. Why bother? They knew what they were going to do. They're bought, sold, and paid for. The move comes just 2 weeks after Pfizer and Moderna initially requested authorization for a fourth shot. This is appalling. Meanwhile, on the lighter side, Lionel Nation has been calling out the event at the Oscars where Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. Get what Lionel has to say. And since we're being played on every other front, why not here too? He begins with a quote from P.T. Barnum and Bailey, circus. Without promotion, something terrible happens. Nothing. From Lionel Nation. What a slap in the face in footage obtained by TMZ, a video from last year. Shows Oscar winner Will Smith demonstrating the art of a faux slap to a group of kids. The youngster, reportedly named Chris, an unfortunate coincidence, asked Smith how he fakes fights in his famous films. Naturally, the seemingly slapaholic showed him. While Smith didn't actually slap this Chris, it was eerily foreboding of the series of unfortunate events that were the 94th Academy Awards. Tuck this away. Greetings. Now that the Chris Rock bloodthirsty and brutal beating episode has already lost its momentum, and it has, craven, venal, pathetic, and putrid American media sock puppets have returned to the usual Vladimir Putin is crazy routine and accepted trope, which explains my point. When it comes to reality, America is in a coma. The best part of that, per usual, yet to be furloughed, American media sock puppet loons hanging on by a thread are missing. The best part of this most obvious artifice, chicanery and work. For the uninformed, a work is a pro wrestling term denoting an orchestrated deception or fraud. For example, shoot. It also connotes the working of the crowd to embroil entangled and invite them into the choreographed commotion. Ahem. Obligatory disclaimer. Now, it goes without saying, none of us were there. We have no idea what was said or arranged or choreographed or contrived. If anything, we can only guess and apply conjecture and blah, blah, blah. No charges have been filed yet. Everyone's presumed innocent. Now, let me continue. Everything I've suspected so far about the alleged surprise attack was verified by Chris Rock's dubious reaction last night. His first public appearance after one of the most famous incidents in popular history was plain weird, reticent, guarded, confused. Comedy gold again ignored. What? This confounds every instinct that professional comics and entertainers of his stature should and normally have. Chris Rock, a 57-year-old professional comedian at the end of his career trajectory, let's be honest, trained to seize upon every event in life to exploit it for all its comedic worth, decided to process the events of Sunday night light years ago in terms of showbiz exploitation process? Unless he can't. And why is that, do you suppose? Well, let's think about it and pay attention. Lionel's Law. America has the attention span of a gnat. Usually a news story is dead after 3 days tops. Rare is the event for the American community to remain focused any longer. And even then, the storyline has to be changed repeatedly to invigorate and rouse from the coma. The audience, Jad rules. Most comics would have booked the nearest comedy basement to seize on this gifted moment immediately while it was fresh. Already so much of the air has been sucked out of the story. Momentum's waning. Look at the possibilities. And this is a nice example of thinking things through as to whether it was real or whether it was fake. First, if Rock were in on the worst practical joke work publicity stunt in the history of recorded failure, he can't say anything now because the time to clear the record has lapsed. And there's much available to make someone doubt the storyline. He had his chance. And if it was arranged, he has to worry about Will Smith cracking under pressure and admitting the charade to get himself out of the jam, which compounds the matter for both. Next, Rock might have been told there are serious investigations going on at the Oscar Academy and even criminal levels. He might not have officially gone on the record as to his involvement, and his lawyers may have ordered him to take the high five. Cutesy talk for the Fifth Amendment. Next, Mr. Rock may have already made statements to investigators and officials about the assault, actually assault and battery, that he is now regretting and advised not to mention again in the fear of contradicting or providing proof of prior inconsistent statements, that is, perjury, if under oath. If you think this is far-fetched, look what they're doing to the January 6th trespassers. The bottom line? Rock and his team were presented comedy and publicity gold in this event. Even Pee Wee Herman in 1991, killed with his heard any good jokes lately riposte, fresh from his Sarasota self-pleasure arrest. No, Chris Rock couldn't say anything for reasons beyond good taste. Think, it doesn't make sense. This event could have cemented him as his career reemerged, and the only reason the Boston gig was sold off with press from all over the world present was to hear Chris address the slap heard round the world. Then, but no, he had to process. Bullshit. We live in a boorish, rude, and crude society with our amps locked in at 11. We live in a grease trap of trolling and violent Karens on airplanes. We want blood. We're gladiators. The world is our coliseum. You don't let comedy magic like this slip by without exploitation unless something gets in the way, something incriminating, something never anticipated. Keep all eyes on Will Smith. What's he going to find out? Is what happens when society says, tag, you're it. When bloodthirsty pitchfork and torch troll brigades smell blood. When the pile-on begins. When he's a target of unspecific and scattered wrath, he thought he was blessed. After all, he's a big star. Hollywood. Come on, man. These deluded children live in a bubble. Inertia. Their own reality and fantasy world. Where they're great and loved and can do no wrong. And any amount of investigation and research into the Smithsphere shows a almost weird, strange, and alternative lifestyle existence. And I'll leave it there till it be morrow. Brilliant piece. Meanwhile, man charged in the deadly Waukesha parade crash says jail isn't safe. Get this. The man accused of killing six and injuring dozens more when he allegedly drove his SUV through a Christmas parade in Waukesha says he doesn't feel safe in jail. WITI-TV reported Wednesday Daryl Brooks sent a letter to his mother saying that guards paid inmates to spit in his food. Brooks, who is black, also accused guards and inmates of using racial slurs against him and threatening him with violence. He said he needs to find a way out before something happens to him and guards sweep it under the rug. A spokesman for the Waukesha County Sheriff's Department says the agency reviewed Brooks' complaints and is satisfied he's being treated appropriately. Notice, being treated appropriately. If they think he's scum and he's being treated like scum, well, that's appropriate. Meanwhile, a great injustice. Concerned Women for America file a Title IX complaint against UPenn over Leah Thomas. Very appropriate. Concerned Women for America has gone right to the federal government to claim University of Pennsylvania is violating its Title IX statute by allowing male athletes to compete against female athletes, including Leah Thomas, a man who identifies as a woman who recently won a 2022 CIA Women's Swimming Championship. This reminds me of a story Abraham Lincoln attributed to Abraham Lincoln, who said, if you call the tail of a dog a leg, how many legs does it have? And if you were tempted to say five, Lincoln corrects and points out, no, only four, because calling a tail a leg doesn't make it one. Calling a man a woman doesn't make him one. A great injustice is being committed against women student athletes at UPenn and beyond in direct violation of federal law. The violations are compounded in that colleges and universities are allowing a hostile environment to fester, which threatens female athletes' entire college careers and even future earning opportunities if they dare to speak out against these unfair policies. The statute protects women from facing discrimination at educational institutions that get federal funds. The Concerned Women for America charges Thomas's inclusion on the women's swim team discriminated against women by making the competition unfair. They're absolutely right. Here's a tweet. Leah Thomas just took first place at the 2021 NCAA Division I Women's Swimming and Diving Championships in the 500 freestyle. He's so far ahead, no one else is even close. The future of women's sports is at risk, and equal rights of female athletes are being infringed, said Penny Knight, CEO and president of Concerned Women for America, in a statement when the complaint was filed. We filed a formal civil rights complaint against UPenn in response to the injustice. Any school that defines federal civil rights law by denying women equal opportunity in athletic programs, forcing women to compete against athletes who are biologically male, must be held accountable. The complaint said in part, Thomas is anatomically and biologically a male with physical capacities that are different from anatomically and biologically female athletes, which extends an unfair advantage and strips female student athletes of opportunities afforded to them by law. The complaint also cites reports that Thomas' own teammates have complained about UPenn allowing a hostile environment to fester in its locker room, which has put them in apprehension. Thomas was previously ranked number 462 when competing in the men's division. This is grotesque beyond words. Meanwhile, the Biden administration is planning to reinterpret Title IX to strike down fairness in women's sports. President Biden's administration will soon take action to overhaul federal civil rights laws and enact a new regime of Title IX rules for college athletics. The U.S. Department of Education is writing new rules that would make discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity illegal under Title IX, a 1972 law that banned sex discrimination in education. This is enough to make you vomit. In other words, it would be illegal for states to prohibit gender dysphoric male athletes who present as female from competing against women in college athletics. Schools receiving federal funding must permit transgender athletes to compete according to their self-identified gender or risk losing those funds. This is such idiocy. It is contemptible. The new rules will be published in April, according to the report. The changes are currently under review by the White House. Next, the government must issue a notice of proposed rulemaking and give the public a chance to comment before they are finalized. Draft text reportedly reads, discrimination on the basis of sex includes discrimination on the basis of sex stereotypes, sex-related characteristic, including intersex traits, pregnancy or related conditions, sexual orientation, and gender identity. Biden's change to federal law enacted via executive order would set up a direct confrontation between the federal government and 12 Republican-run states that have passed fairness in women's sports laws banning males who identify as girls or women from participating in girls and women's sports. These states include Utah, Texas, Florida, Idaho, and South Dakota. Republicans have argued that male athletes who present as female have biological advantage over girls, but this point is contested by LGBTQ plus advocates. How can they contest it? That's absurd. Debate has raged on this issue as transgender swimmer Leah Thomas, a man who identifies as female, controversial, won the NCAA Division I championship in the 500-yard women's freestyle. Thomas swam for Penn's men team before beginning to take cross-sex hormones and present as female. Florida Governor DeSantis rejected Thomas's victory as a fraud, issuing a proclamation that declared second-place finisher Emma Wyatt, a Sarasota resident, the real winner. Good for him. The Biden administration announced its intention to change how Title IX is interpreted last summer and began holding public hearings on the proposal. The decision followed the Supreme Court's 2020 ruling in Bostock versus Clayton County, Georgia, a 6-3 ruling that said Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 protects gay and transgender workers from employment discrimination. The court majority reasoned people being fired for being gay or transgender were being treated differently because of their sex, which is illegal. Because Title IX is very similar to Title VII, the Biden administration argued the same reinterpretation of illegal sex discrimination should apply in education. Both supporters and opponents were given an opportunity to make their case to the Education Department during hearings. But when you're dealing with lunatics, don't expect yourself to get very far. This is just disgusting, completely disgusting. Let me say, we're going to take calls after the break. The number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will handle your call and get you on the air. I look forward to hearing from you. See you right after the break. Right after the break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, welcome back. Hope y'all are doing well. Oh, I'm sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
Hey, Mitchell.
Hey, Bruce. Is Jim there?
No, I guess it's you and me for now. Maybe.
All right. Hey, Bruce. How you doing?
Doing okay. It's a nice, clear day in Texas. And it's pretty strange how after Putin did his military operation and the gas prices went up, all the chemtrails stopped.
Oh, no, it's all magically. There's no condensation magically. No chemtrails.
All of a sudden, yeah, that's really strange. You know, Michael Rivero says that, oh, that's just commuter airplanes flying back and forth. Like, yeah, they fly back and forth to checkerboard patterns. Yeah, right. I don't think so.
Yeah,
Bruce. I'm very sorry. I stepped away to get a cup of coffee, and you were here before I knew it. Yeah, I'm very glad to have you here. Give me a brief recap. Brief recap, or Mitchell. Bruce,
your comment that seems like the kid trailing operations have stopped ever since the fuel prices shot up.
A Keystone Cops operation. Yeah, yeah. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. What else? Well, what else is on your mind?
I've been listening to RT a lot lately.
Yes,
they're very, very well produced, very informative. Of course, they're going to have their side of the story, but it's presented in a way that's not obnoxious, and it's actually informative. And it doesn't insult your intelligence. It doesn't come across like crass propaganda like on the other networks in the West.
No, I agree with you. I think that RT is among the most professional in producing news stories, and it's highly accurate. I would add Sputnik News similarly. So, of course, there have been efforts to suppress that American people can't get access to accurate information about any of these issues. I mean, it's just staggering what we're living through. What used to be great about the United States is everyone could say anything that was on their mind and have the opportunity to express their opinion free from censorship. But since the era of political correctness was introduced, and I sense that it was a major threat from the beginning. We're supposed to take into account whether what we're saying affects the feelings of anybody. Well, to hell with that. Anyone can take offense at virtually anything you say. So if you start to crank in whether it could potentially hurt somebody's feelings, you're going to be constrained from saying anything significant. Certainly, you would be inhibited from making any controversial remark lest you hurt someone's feelings. I mean, this is just stupid beyond belief, and yet it's been part and parcel of the Democrats' agenda for way too long. We need to trash political correctness, reaffirm the First Amendment, ignore whether anyone's feelings are affected. That's got nothing to do with freedom of speech, which is intended to protect controversial speech, provocative speech, popular speech that most people agree with does not require any protection. It's those who are saying things that others might find exceptional, that they might not like, such as my explaining that Sandy Hook was an elaborate charade, that it was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. A lot of people don't want me to say that and have taken extraordinary efforts to shut me up. The brutes were living in a bizarre variation of what once was a great country where the First and Second Amendment and the Fifth, which of course requires that no citizen of the United States may be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, were all these fabricated fake lawsuits taking place involving Remington, the fake Sandy Hook parents, and a host of issues, those speaking out against what happened to James Tracy at Florida Atlantic for on his own personal blog, critiquing Wayne Carver's performance at his press conference as being very, very suspect, for which we have massive confirmation. Those against Wolfgang Halbig, who was a former Florida State Trooper, a U.S. Customs agent, very responsible positions, school principal, a nationally recognized school safety expert who merely wanted to find out what happened at Sandy Hook so he could advise other school systems what steps they should take to make sure it didn't happen to them. Alex Jones, who, of course, has been on both sides of the issue. All these cases have been settled on procedural grounds, actually, in the case against Wolfgang, by default, because the man who calls himself Lenny Posner was not willing to sit for a video deposition after the judge directed that he do so. So when the judge gave a victory to Wolfgang, he was subsequent, and Wolfgang wanted to go further, he was replaced on the bench by another judge who denied everything Wolfgang wanted to do. And in my case, I mean, absolutely incredible. I was confronted with a complaint that had a death certificate attached. It was a complete death certificate with a file number, a town certification, a state certification. In a complaint over a death certificate I'd published, that was an incomplete death certificate that had no file number, had no town certification, and no state certification. And yet the complaint said they were not materially different. Well, how ridiculous can you get? And then when I gave my answer, because I thought it was important to get all this evidence that no one had died at Sandy Hook into the record, the judge during the scheduling conference precluded my doing so on the ground that whether anyone had died at Sandy Hook had nothing to do with the accuracy or truthfulness of a death certificate that claimed to be for a decedent who had died at Sandy Hook on 14 December of multiple gunshot wounds. I don't know how much more absurd you can get than this, Bruce, in all honesty.
Yeah, you know, our whole structure of our society, going back to the founding fathers and where they drew that from, I'm sure you can speak to this better than I can. The Greek philosophy of, you know, representative government and court of law, presenting evidence, presenting arguments, and allowing the public to hear each side in order to reach a conclusion based on facts and on witness analysis. It's all been replaced now by dictatorship of fear. truth does not fear an investigation. Have you come across the program on RT called Crosstalk? It's very good. It reminds me of a crossfire effect. CNN actually was.
Tell me about what have they had lately?
Oh man, just go to RT.com and search Crosstalk. You could pull up the latest. There are Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. The host is hard hitting, very smart, and doesn't take any bullshit. Guests on both sides of whatever issue he's discussing. Of course, lately it's been the operation in the Ukraine. And, in that realm, it's incontrovertible that the Russians are on the right side of this, and it's all been a charade. It's all been, let's think about this, Jim. You can't write the letter Z in public now in Germany because it's,
Russian the letter. Propaganda. You can't write the letters Z.
If you put the letter Z in public, they're going to come after you.
that's just insane. By the way, here's a statement of Tulsi Gabbard, whom I happen to like a lot. Warmongers are leading America to nuclear war. America's leaders have failed and betrayed the people, says Tulsi. Former U.S. Representative Tulsi Gabbard warned that warmongers have betrayed the American people. This is a leading America toward the brink of nuclear war with Russia, Gabbard said in a video posted online. The former U.S. representative encouraged Americans to stand up before it's too late. Tulsi, a war veteran herself, has served as Democrat congresswoman from Hawaii before opting to leave D.C. and stand against the New World Order, has been a strong voice against escalating the ongoing conflict between Russia and Ukraine, warning of nuclear consequences. That, combined with her vocal opposition to the D.C. establishment, has resulted in Gabbard being targeted by big tech censors and the globalist Uniparty while further earning the respect of the American people. I've suggested before, Bruce, that assuming Trump runs again in 2024, which I think is virtually guaranteed, that he may very well run with Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi and Trump, I mean, it's got a ring to it. It's obviously a wonderful pairing, although Tulsi has not been as strong on the Second Amendment as I would want, I would expect. She will, by that time, have come around. And notice she's basically left the Democratic Party. She's been staking out a stance that's more or less that of an independent, where I expect by the time that we have the 2024 election, if we are still here on the face of Earth and have not been decimated in a nuclear holocaust, which I think is all too likely, alas, that she will what would become the GOP vice presidential nominee. We have another familiar voice joining us, Paul in California. Join the conversation, Paul. Paul.
Can you hear me?
Now, yes, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm sorry about that. I was just pulling up in a car, and I still had it on mute. So I was a little bit bored. I figured I'd call in, and let's make another bet, because I'm so tired of hearing about this nuclear war stuff. First of all, you know, I don't believe in nuclear weapons. But either way, let's make a bet. Let's say, there's not going to be a nuclear war and you take the position there is. How much time do you want? 5 years? 3 years?
How much time do I want over whether we're going to go to nuclear war? You know, if I won that bet, of course, I wouldn't be around to collect it. So I don't know. If there's much point, but look. Symbolically, Paul, symbolically. I think the odds before 2024 are pretty substantial. So let's say by 2024, say November, by the time of the,
$50. Do you want any odds?
Sure. $50. That's fine. We'd just be even.
Even money.
Right.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Cause it's all theater. I mean, look, if there were nuclear weapons, there's no way that they're going to use them, but I don't believe in them. And I have sent you information before that I know that you haven't looked at, but if you read Miles Mathis' paper, I think it's on page 17 of his PDF about Trinity, that they stacked a bunch of dynamite on the platform. There's pictures of it. They even admit it, stacking boxes of dynamite,
Paul,
on the platform at Trinity.
Do you have any idea how many nuclear explosions there have been? I mean, this is just a fantasy.
How do you know there's been nuclear explosions?
Go back and watch Dr. Strangelove, which I think everyone in the world should watch at least once a year. This was Stanley Kubrick's most brilliant and triumphal production, and it's, in my opinion, the most important film ever made.
You've seen it, but it had a huge
amount of footage of nuclear blasts, Paul. I'm sorry. You know, I wish it were true. You know,
I love the movie. It's a great movie, but it's a Hollywood movie. It doesn't prove anything. You ought to know. You're a professor of logic and critical thinking. It's not evidence.
Just look at the conclusion of all the nuclear blasts, including hydrogen bombs that are recorded there. That's not made up. That's not Hollywood stuff. That's not CGI.
Here's the problem when it comes to topics like this is you don't take stuff in, but you just put stuff out. So have you heard of, I sent you a PDF, I'm pretty sure I did, Akio Nakatani, Death Hoax, where he deconstructs the whole thing. And there's many other people that believe this, because if you look at what's public information now that they released, what's known as the neutron cross-section analysis, just type that in, Google search that. There can't be enough high energy collisions to have explosive fission. And there's mainstream physicists now that admit this based upon what they released, the neutron cross-section analysis. Many people have looked at this. So I'm sorry, but I'm firmly in the camp of fully believing, not knowing, but fully believing that there are no nuclear weapons. But either way, this is another bet I'm going to win with you.
Sure. It's all right, Paul. It's all right. I appreciate your calls, and I'm not bothered when we disagree. I think this is a singularly bizarre stance to take that there are no nuclear weapons. I mean, I'm just astonished, but I gather you have what you believe to be good reasons. And I'll take a look at some of that stuff, but I think it's overwhelmingly obvious. Let me just give you a story on a small scale. Christopher Busby is a internationally famous scientist, an expert on cancer and radiation. He was troubled by all the reports of bizarre birth effects in Fallujah. No heads, no brain, double heads, no arms, all that kind of stuff, really serious birth defects. He went to Fallujah expecting to discover that these were consequences of the use of depleted uranium in anti-tank weapons. Depleted uranium is the densest material known, and it'll penetrate the steel of tanks, so it's very useful and effective in anti-tank weaponry. But he discovered instead that it was caused by a new source of radioactivity from a new type of tactical nuclear weapon the United States was deploying in Iraq. Now, that's a completely different. It's a result of the consequences of exposure to radiation from this new type of nuclear weapon. The United States, of course, was deploying them in violation of international law. I've interviewed Christopher Busby about this. I have no doubt he's exactly right about it. And it's just one tiny little sliver that, you know, of evidence we have that you're just wrong about the non-existence of nuclear weapons. Are you also convinced there's no nuclear energy either, that all those power plants, nuclear power plants are a myth as well, Paul? Because that would seem to be an adjunct to your stance.
Well, so there's a separation of issues here. So I'm not making a claim there's no radiation or that there isn't heat produced. This is a different thing. If you've ever seen the videos of Galen Windsor, probably many listeners to this show will have heard of Galen Windsor, where he gave lectures exposing the fraud of the nuclear industry. My own father, who's now deceased, he worked in the licensing division of General Electric Nuclear Power. They hadn't really brought a plant online in like 10 years back in the mid to late 80s when he took his early retirement. So there's a lot of fraud and waste and basic, money stealing goes on in that industry. And if you've never heard any of the lectures of Galen Windsor, I would suggest that you listen to it. But this is a whole different issue than what's known as explosive nuclear fission. And multiple, I'm not alone. I didn't make this stuff up. I looked into it. Like, I sent you Miles Mathis' paper on Trinity. I know you didn't read it. You told me one time on the air you never read it. I'll send it again. You can read it and tell me what you think. But all these things, when you look at it, just like everything else, there's just a lot of stuff doesn't add up. It's just suspicious, to say the least. So based upon what I've looked into, which is essentially the website, biglies.org, and then Miles Mathis' paper on Trinity, and then this book by Akio Nakatani called Death Hoax, then I'm convinced. You know, I'd have to see one in person and know what it was I was seeing.
Paul, okay, I accept your stance. I mean, but you know, again, this is to me pretty much in the flat Earth category. You know, I mean, there's a limited amount of time I have to devote myself where I really have no serious doubt about the facts of the matter, but I welcome your sending me this. I'm in the midst of preparing my writ of certiorari to the U.S. Supreme Court about my loss case, so you'll have to forgive if I can't look at this right away. Once I get that out, once that's off to the court, then I'll have time and we can revisit the issue.
Are you writing it yourself, or you have an input? Also?
It appears I'm going to be submitting pro se, and I'm doing the writing, you know, myself. I've got an incomplete draft that's laying out the principal issues, but
how long is it?
It's limited to 9,000 words max, but you know, what I have so far is well short of that. But I'm going to probably double what I have, which is around 3,000 to 4,000. I'm not trying to set any records here, but there are aspects of how these things are presented with the evidence that I'm mastering. You know, I've got to learn, you know, how to perform some of these legal maneuvers of preparing a proper brief. And, you know, I'm just learning more and more about the judicial system.
Okay. I would love to see what you've got put together so far, and I know that you write very well. I consider a lot of what I've done, I consider myself that I write fairly well myself, and I'd be happy to look at and edit and contribute. I would offer, I know you won't take me up on the offer, but I'd offer to do it for you for free, but my submission would be 10 to 15 pages max. That's all you need to hit the issues. I mean, the issues are fairly straightforward. You didn't receive a trial at all. They didn't even consider your evidence. You were essentially given what amounts to an unlawful and unprecedented summary judgment, or I'm sorry, the opposing party given. It's pretty all straightforward. And just the fact that they're going to ignore it, they won't hear it, they probably won't read it. It just shows you the state that we're in. It's like the other day when I mentioned this black woman being questioned by a congressman or a senator. I don't know who it was, but just imagine the absurdity of a hearing where you're asking somebody to the Supreme Court, completely off topic, in my opinion. Oh, can you define what a woman is? It's just, we're living in circus world is what it is. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, no, I agree, Paul. We're joined by Brew. We don't hear from you often enough, Brew. Please stick around, Paul. Brew, join the conversation, please. Brew, are you there? Bruce. Yeah. Brew, you there?
Bruce?
Mitchell.
Bruce,
Mitchell, did we lose Brew? We got no Brew.
Hello?
No Brew.
Hello?
Mitch is giving. Go ahead. Was that, I think that was, Mitchell has explained to me, the Brew, I think, is come and gone, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway.
Bruce is still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, before I go, because we're almost out of time, something I picked up on RT, the Prime Minister of Pakistan is alleging that there's an assassination plot to kill him if he's taken out of office. He was voted no confidence, and he says that the CIA is organizing a regime change in this country.
Hey, because listen, I think, Bruce, I think we got Brew here. If I'm not mistaken, Mitch has added Brew. Brew, please join the conversation while we have a few minutes. Brew.
Yeah, it hung up on me. Am I late? Was I supposed to be today's guest?
Go ahead. Just Brew. Give us your thoughts.
Just Brew is here. Good first hour. You know, you covered some good current event topics. You know, Klaus Schwab, and I'm talking about the blockchain and all this stuff. I think you did some real good coverage there, Jim.
Little too serious, unfortunately, in their implications for life on Earth or the quality of life for those of us who remain after the great calling takes place, where I think conservatively billions are going to die as a consequence. And they're even putting this HIV thing in other products that people unknowingly are going to lose their immune system. And the FDA and the CDC and the NIH are all going along with it. They appear to be bought and sold and totally controlled by the Rothschild banking industry and the New World, the World Economic Forum. It's all really, truly appalling and beyond belief. Let me add, by the way, in case anyone's... Go ahead.
Finish your sentence. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to add for anyone unaware, I'm going to do a course, an online course on critical thinking and conspiracy theories that begins next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central. Go to my blog at jamesfetzer.org and check it out. This might be something that would interest you. It's going to be a 15-week course. Check it out there. You can find all the particulars. Brew, go ahead. Add further thoughts of your own. We have just 1 minute left.
So there's the whole projection that billions are going to die, you know, over the course of several years, you know, coming down, their immune systems being destroyed, whatever it may be, however this is happening. But, you know, let me just suggest that maybe it's into the hundreds of millions that are definitely marked for death, because a lot of people so far, there are a lot, you know, we can't account for all the people in Sub-Saharan in Africa or India, wherever they are, that still have not been tracked and tagged with this bioweapon that they're injecting into people. So we don't, you know, this all has played out. Yeah. You know, the big course of this is them transforming people. They're no longer, remember, Jim, they're no longer human. It's changing their DNA. What do they become? They become this unisex. They don't even have a, you know, animals have more rights than them. They turn into these slaves. They're infertile. They're all sorts of things. So they're going to be here, you know,
it's
who knows?
And then I died, they transform into something. Brew and Paul and Bruce, thank you for calling in. Everyone have a great weekend. Spend as much time as you can with your friends and loved ones, because we do not know, literally do not know, how much time we have left.
Radio. Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict. But